My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant David, Israel rather, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the word of God, forever faithful and true and given to each one of us here in love. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so thankful that we truly belong to you, that we are your people, and that this good news was not just meant for Mary or for Elizabeth to see and savor and hear and respond to. It is for us as well tonight to be received with glad hearts. For this truly is glad tidings of great joy for all people. For you, O Christ, have come. And so, Jesus, as we come now to the preaching of your holy word, I pray, O Lord, that you would use me as a vessel of your mercy and your grace. Would you speak through me, O Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that your word would be proclaimed, so that your truth would go forward, that our hearts would receive this good news and be truly refreshed and changed, and that the Spirit of Christ would apply exactly what we need for this coming week into our hearts and to our lives, O Lord, even now throughout this time, as your word is given to us by your own speaking voice, as we have just heard it through your word. And so we ask all this in your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit alike. Amen. All right, well, tonight we have one of those typical two-point sermons for me. So I love those. They tend to be a little shorter, and I love it that way. But the first point that we're going to see tonight, the first really part even of this scene, this true story even right here in front of us, is that Elizabeth joined Mary at this point in receiving the message, the good news of Jesus's coming to earth. Now, in those days, we see that Mary, during what we know of, according to our text here, was in her first trimester. You know, Christ had already basically begun to grow inside of her, so to speak. He had already come, and even now he was a little baby in her womb. But at this point, Elizabeth, from what we can see in the text, was probably in her third trimester, from what we can see. Mary had just begun this process, and yet Elizabeth was now in month six or so around this point. But what I love here, and that's what In Those Days is referring to in our text, but what I love here, though, is that right as our passage starts, Luke uses this very common phrase that we see throughout the entire Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And he says this, "In those days, Mary arose and went." Now, I'm looking over at you, Levi, being in seminary and all. I don't know if you've taken Hebrew yet.
Yeah.
So cum laude, right? Arise and go.
Right.
The commands, right? God used those commands, cum laude, meaning arise and go, to so many of the prophets in the Old Testament. Jonah, he uses that phrase, rise, go to Nineveh. Rise, go here. Preach the good news. Rise and go. And I love it because right here, Luke is, I believe, intentionally picking up on that exact same prophetic language. You need to rise, Mary, and go. And I love it because she was so compelled. I have this word of the gospel that's been given to me by Gabriel. I have the Christ child even now about to come within 9 months. I cannot help but rise and go now, of all places, to her relative, to someone she loved, to someone she cared for. She couldn't help keep that gospel message to herself. She had to go and tell someone. And so it says that Mary arose and went with haste. She went speedily into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. I love this too, because these words are so packed with meaning. the word greeted is not simply, you know, the word for hello, how are you doing? You know, come on in, you know, that kind of thing. Or maybe even like a warm hug, you know, a greeting and a hello and a warm hug, or maybe get some hot cocoa while you're at it kind of thing. Surely there might've been that thing, that kind of thing involved, hopefully hot cocoa as well. But what I believe is so important here is that it says that she greeted Elizabeth. And this word for greet here is not simply this message of, you know, again, hello, hi, how are you doing? You know, all these like Southernisms, right? You know, or how y'all doing? Come on in, right? Rather, this greeting was not all that much unlike how she had been greeted by Gabriel just previously. It was a gospel-centered greeting, in other words. It was brimming with gospel truth. And we know that it wasn't just an ordinary greeting because of how Elizabeth then responds. In other words, Mary shared the gospel with her right here. And therefore, Elizabeth then responds with what it says in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting, quote unquote, right, of Mary, in other words, the gospel, glad tidings, the greeting, though, of Mary, the baby, John the Baptizer, at that point, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Love that. See, she heard the gospel. She responds in faith. And then she, Elizabeth, can't even help but then say, wow, look what God is doing. Blessed are you, Mary. God's grace, his favor has met you. Something grand is about to happen. And so now they're both enjoying the gospel together. And so again, this is more than just simply two sister-in-laws or relatives, cousins, whatever they might have been exactly, definitely relatives of some kind though. This is more than just two women getting excited together. This is them actually enjoying the goodness of God. And I love that. I don't want to skip over it at all. But the very fact that even John, within the womb of Elizabeth, now about 6 months pregnant, even he leapt. According to an earlier verse, in verse 15 of Luke 1, it was prophesied even of John that even he would be filled with the Holy Spirit at that time while he was yet in the womb. And that's what was going on right here. So Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John, who was even within her womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit, even as a little baby yet to be born. And I love it because here you have not just one or two witnesses to the gospel, you even have a third, the unborn child, John by name. Isn't that beautiful? Three witnesses to the grace of God, even right there. Two older women, one who was, as we saw last time, even too old to conceive, and yet miraculously had by God's grace. And here a virgin had now miraculously conceived as well. Both women, living miracles. And here John, as a baby in the womb, then also gives praise. And all of this is a giant miracle, and all of it is undergirded by the very work of the Holy Spirit. We can't skim over that fact, that this is a work of God. The Father who had sent Jesus, Jesus there now, incarnate in the flesh, growing inside of Mary, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, all three right here testifying to the gospel. Isn't that beautiful? The triune God, three in one, and even here, three people testifying to the gospel of grace. I love it so much. I also believe, and I'd love to hear your thoughts too, Levi, afterwards, again, that seminary connection here, not to call you out, don't worry, but there's no quiz or anything, but I think you might pick up on this too, man. But I believe there is strong temple imagery here going on. See, throughout the Old Testament, really throughout the entire Bible, there's this theme of the temple. There first in the Garden of Eden, and we've talked about this before in the past, but there in the Garden of Eden, and then beyond, as the Holy Spirit then filled the physical temple under the Old Covenant, and as he does even now among us as believers, he fills each one of us as believers. But right here, I believe there is temple language, kind of subliminally even here going on. Because as the believers, Mary and Elizabeth, are rejoicing, what happens? They are filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, that's temple-like imagery. Just like 1 Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, we are not only a chosen people, a royal priesthood, you know, called by God's grace. We are, in fact, living stones of the temple. And right here, there is a prefiguration of the temple being God's people, filled with the Holy Spirit, giving praise to God. And that's true of us, friends. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are a believer in Christ, if you belong to Him, you are like living stones. And the Holy Spirit loves to inhabit, as God tells us, the praises of His people. Even as we're singing songs, like earlier, the fun ones with all the drums and the ones that we are more familiar with, God inhabits the praises of us as people. As we proclaim the gospel, the Spirit tends to us. As His word is preached, the Holy Spirit solidifies these things. He says, yes, this is true. He amens it. And that's what God does wherever His gospel is preached. This is why Elizabeth then proclaims this word of blessing, but also even, as it's always appropriate for us, a humble cry of, well, why me though? You know, why me? Like, you're blessed, Mary, and I'm blessed too in my own way, but why me? Like, why would God choose to make His glory known to me? You see that in verses 42 and 45 as well, all the way through that section. Why me? For the sake of time, we won't go into that tonight, but I love this fact that it is even a small picture of God's grace right here in our passage. You know, this is how heaven meets earth on this side of Christ's return, His triumphant return at that, at the last. See, the gospel is proclaimed by both men and women, like Mary, Elizabeth, like us here, even as individuals. But it's proclaimed by us, especially us who are of humble estate, who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God as He inhabits our praises. Friends, I hope you know that this Christmas season, as you are marveling over the gospel, as you receive the gospel, even later on tonight in the few moments over at Rivermont, as we get to celebrate and listen to the gospel sung over us, quite literally, with a choir and orchestra and everything. But I pray this would be just something that resonates with you. See, to Christ belongs an ever-widening kingdom over and upon the entire earth. And He loves to advance His kingdom, not through mighty kings and presidents and people in positions of power specifically. He actually loves to use people of humble estate like us. He loves to use you. He loves to bless you with His kindness and His goodness and use you to declare the mysteries of the gospel. And so, even though we as a church plant are fairly small, right? Being a home church in many ways in this season until the Lord continues to grow us in His own way, in His own time. Whether we have weeks, as we've experienced here, where we have, you know, a few people, the fact is, or 10 people, whatever it might be, or two or three even, right? But wherever two or three are gathered in Christ's name, He's there with us. And so be encouraged. You, as He plants this church, be encouraged that Christ is in our midst, that Christ, by His Spirit, is blessing us, and that He is making His glory known through each one of us here in downtown Lynchburg. And He loves to use even the small things, and even the day of small things, to make His glory known. This then brings us to our second and shorter point, and it's simply this, that Mary then joined in rejoicing over the message. And we see this in the last several verses. What we see is Mary's, again, Magnificat, her magnification of the Lord. And I just want to read a few verses here tonight for you. Mary says this in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord," meaning it makes God so much bigger. I see Him more clearly now. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why? For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." I love this line. "For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." That right there, as Esther read earlier, is a direct fulfillment of Zephaniah 3, that He who is mighty has done great things for us, even we of lowly estate. Isn't that amazing? That God bends to bless us, that God loves to use us, that God loves to make His glories known to us. And it's beautiful, even as you just were to look through here. Again, I won't read all this just for the sake of time, sadly, tonight. But as you look through this, you'll see this theme that the ones who are in high positions brought low by God. And the ones who are of low estate by God's grace are the ones who are actually lifted up. People have said before that the kingdom of God is in many ways backwards. It looks backwards in the eyes of the world. You know, those who are up top are really down below, and those who are below are up top. This, friends, though, is how the gospel goes forward. Not with power or with might, but as God says in Zechariah, by his spirit. By his spirit. And friends, my prayer is that that would be true of us as we continue to plant this church, as we move into the second year of our planting, you know, in this Christmas season and beyond, as we seek to make God's glory known in downtown Lynchburg, here on Court Street and beyond, may we never despise the day of small things. May we never look down on what God is doing, whether it be a small thing in the moment or a small conversation, but rather be mindful that God loves to use even the little things to make his glory known throughout the whole world, let alone here in Lynchburg and even downtown Lynchburg. Let us also, as a final word, not just celebrate the gospel in our midst, but let's also be haste in spreading the gospel. Let's not just celebrate it here in these, you know, four walls, so to speak, this little church plan, a house church, but let us also be haste to share this gospel in conversations throughout the week and wherever God takes us. And so let us be people who then know and believe that each one of us truly are, as our main idea is tonight, that each one of us truly is called by God then to share the joy of Christ's gospel, whether it be in our conversations or in the public proclamation of God's word like this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the one who has given us your holy word. We thank you, O Lord, for special nights like tonight, where we get to just slow down and be with you a while and celebrate your goodness. And Lord, as we, many of us here, are able to head over to our sister church at Rivermont and just enjoy Handel's Messiah and be reminded of the gospel through sung and spoken word alike, we pray, O Lord, that you would fill our hearts with a ravishing sense of who you are. That we might be filled with your Holy Spirit, and that we might be people who long to see Jesus magnified. And so, Lord, we pray all this in your holy name.